This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury. Of course, today I'm in the studio with
Arvini Viraj
and Christine Wong.
These two, as usual. I'll give you a quick update on the weather. Yesterday we could see some blue skies. Today we see a little bit less of blue skies. There's a few clouds around. And of course, it is Thursday, 6th of August, 2020, at 12:05, coming up to 12:06.
Which means it's a day before the weekend.
It is a day before the weekend. Now, the question we are running with today is, what makes the ideal virtual meeting, other than it doesn't exist? But that's just my opinion. We'd like to get some opinions from you. 018-789-8899 at Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio, as per usual. This is based on a question that, a story that Chris has, I will be talking about in a few minutes, the ideal virtual meeting. Of course, we managed to get a guest as well to come and give us their opinion. It is Chris Greeno, the Everrise's Chief Marketing Officer. He's got his opinion and will be weighing in a little bit later on. Arv will then be talking about
Microsoft and how they've become very popular with the Gen Zs because of their TikTok bid.
Okay, and then I'll be talking about the Digital Small Business Accelerator. It's not something out of a Back to the Future movie, but something very real. Now, Chris, tell us all about this thing. Tell us all about what makes an ideal virtual meeting.
Right. So this is based on an article I found on Fast Company that discussed the fact that the CEOs of Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google had to respond to a torrent of tough questions from Congress when they testified before the House Judiciary Committee's Antitrust Subcommittee last week. But the article dares to ask what we can learn from how these tech titans fared on this very high-profile Zoom call, and then listed a few examples of some do's and some don'ts from this big tech hearing that could maybe help you handle your next contentious virtual business call. Let's start with the do's. The first do is to define success. So the tech leader's job was to connect with the real audience, the investors, consumers, media, and everyone else who tuned in. So with that, they had to come across as like everyday folks and keep their cool, which for the most part, they did. The second do is to share examples or feelings. So before the short opening statements, they offered condolences for the death of Congressman John Lewis. Jeff Bezos, Amazon CEO, of course, talked about how he was the child of a teenage mother. Google CEO Sundar Pichai spoke of growing up relatively poor in India without access to tech. And they shared stories of small businesses they're helping. And all of this is nice to do in these uninterrupted opening statements as well. Tim Cook as well decided to throw in some jokes here and there. A reminder that one of the easiest ways to connect with an audience is to make them smile. So very nice. And then the next do is to prepare for the virtual. So in the virtual world, remember a few elements that really matter. Eye contact. If you can look into the camera, at least look at the person who is speaking and try to maintain steady eye contact even under fire. Gestures. Verbatim from the article, it says, with the exception of Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, all the CEOs set their shots wide enough so that we could see them gesture naturally. And the idea behind this is that even when gesturing can't be seen, it moves your body in a way that registers as comfortable and conversational.
Quite funny that Mark Zuckerberg's the odd one out there.
Interesting, yes. And the final thing is dress and set. So they all wore neutral color suits and ties, which showed respect for Congress's formal style and aimed at a clean, neutral background. However, ironically, Tim Cook, whose company Apple is known for its elegant design, kind of missed the mark with a jumble of sad-looking plants in the background. So, you know, wear something that's appropriate. You know, if you're going to be in, for example, a business meeting of some kind, don't just wear your PJs to the meeting. You know, dress up a little bit. Now for the don'ts. With the don'ts, give me 2 seconds to scroll down on here. Don't get caught in the weeds. Always view questions as topics and pick the topic that best serves you. And be careful about the timing of sharing narratives. Obviously, it is good to connect with the audience, but a story might not work well in a contentious exchange where narratives might make people impatient.
Yeah.
Don't fidget, or try not to fidget at least. Before a meeting, sit or stand in a way that's comfortable. don't slouch. Get out from the back of a chair and keep your hands handy to gesture. Similarly, Zuckerberg again sometimes appeared to be sneaking a look at his script without moving his head. You're allowed to look at the script if you need one, but be more deliberate. It's okay to reveal that you have a script with you. No one expects you to have memorized everything that you want to say, and it's more honest just to actually glance down at your notes. And the final point, set aside time for tech. You would think that Jeff Bezos would not have a problem with tech, but he had tech difficulties for about an hour. He couldn't get his picture full screen. He didn't realize he was on mute. He kind of seemed to forget that he was on camera, at one point sneaking a snack. for business leaders who may not have tech support with them, especially at home, set aside the time to make sure everything is working because it's worth your image as a leader. So bottom line, while there are glitches and gaps, most people should remember that the most prized aspect of executive presence is showing grace under fire and really apply that to the way that you approach your virtual meetings.
That last point, the setting aside the time for tech. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Uh-huh. Everything okay? Can you hear me? Can you see me?
I'm going to leave and come back in.
My camera's not working. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my word. The amount of times I've been... I myself was guilty of that at our last production meeting, I think, last week. My camera was not working at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys.
Yep.
And it was just a case of click, click. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
I should have done that beforehand.
Yeah.
I should have checked.
It's not even that, but, you know, just keep that in mind. Mm. So, for example, if you have a call that is at 3 p.m., like, check to see that everything's working at 2:55 p.m.
Yes.
If there's even more of a delay for some unknown reason, at least there's a bit of leeway.
So when I'm doing my interviews from home, like we've all been doing for the past, you know, few months, I normally set it around 20 minutes before the interview starts. And everything is already set up in my house, right? I shouldn't have to do this, but it's just that getting into that routine of double-checking everything, checking all the connections, checking all the levels are correct and that the camera's working, the microphone is working. And it's once you're in that kind of mindset, you know, it helps you kind of relax into your interview or your virtual meeting, I'd assume.
Yeah. I'm guilty of the fidgeting part. There's no way I can sit. I've never sat through an entire meeting or virtual meeting or any physical meeting not moving in my chair because I'm extremely uncomfortable sitting in one place. Even if you could see me now, I have one hand in my hoodie pocket and another one on my mouse. I don't need to be holding my mouse. I'm not moving anything. I just need something to do with my hands. And I know that comes off a bit restless on camera. Like I felt it before. But I do it unconscious, you know. I'm not doing it on purpose. So I think that's a good point to keep in mind, because sometimes you don't realize how other people are looking at you moving around and fidgeting on camera. Another thing I wanted to bring up is I saw this interview with Zack Snyder a few days ago, and he had like a virtual meeting with Grace Randolph, and the way he set up like his environment, because I think him being like a visual filmmaker and stuff, he had the lighting and the backlight and the front light, the side lights, and everything about his shot was so cinematic. Like the cinematography in the Zoom meeting that he had was top notch. And I saw that and I went like, that's how you do meetings. I mean, I understand not everyone can do that. Obviously, he has equipment lying around his house. But if every Zoom meeting looked like that, I think a lot of people would opt to be in Zoom meetings.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'll let you into a secret as well. Sometimes when I've been in meetings and I've had to leave to go and use the washroom, I don't necessarily need the washroom. I just have to get out of there just for a moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's that I feel so uncomfortable being sat in the same place for, you know, an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. I really don't like it.
I think with the fidgeting thing, though, it's more just like you can move around or shift your position a little bit, but just try not to constantly be doing something or whatever, because I get pretty fidgety, as well. So I do relate, but it does come kind of give off this like anxious sort of
vibe.
Yeah. Okay, before we take a quick break then, for you two, what makes your ideal virtual meeting?
Without sounding too harsh, if it's straight to the point, if it's kept short, and if the meeting, like everything in the meeting is exactly what it needs to be, without going off on tangents, without being too long, 15, 20 minutes tops, and then we can go about doing our things. Because again, you are sitting in one place looking at people who are not in the same room as you. So the vibe is different. And you don't have the ability to move around because you want to be there for the other person to look at. So I think short, sweet, to the point is best.
Chris?
For me, I think it's record keeping. I think that especially if you're doing a virtual meeting, there is no excuse to not have minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is super important. And I think that that really helps with making sure that the virtual meeting actually has results.
I agree with both of those. In fact, it's short and sweet, but with a record of what's actually happened. Definitely short and sweet is the good thing for me. And having an agenda. This is what we're going to talk about. This is how long we've got for each point. Let's get it done. Let's get out of here. You've all got stuff to do.
Just have like a hit list.
Yeah, just
Go through it. Yeah,
that's what we think. What makes the ideal virtual meeting for you? Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram is at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be hearing from Chris Greeno. He's Everrise's Chief Marketing Officer, of his opinion on what makes a good remote or virtual meeting. Music from Grand Funk Railroad, Time Machine, here on BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you're only just joining us, my name is Rich Bradbury. I'm with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
It's 12:19, coming up to 12:20 here in the studio. We're talking about virtual meetings and what makes the ideal virtual meeting. After that article that Chris was just talking about, the article was all about how some of the big names in tech had to come together in front of Congress and testify and talk. And was it via Zoom?
It was via Zoom.
So our question then: what makes the ideal virtual meeting? I've got a message here from Ro. And he says, my ideal virtual meeting is one where people don't take themselves too seriously. Yeah, sure, it's a professional gathering, but an occasional break in the monotony with some laughter is great. Like someone not muting their mic and everyone hearing the Netflix logo sound come on in the background.
Ooh.
I'm almost expecting that at some point Arvin is in these virtual meetings. But it's not happened so far yet. One day, maybe, one day.
I'm good with the tech.
Yeah, he's good with the tech. He's good with the mute button.
Yeah.
Over on Twitter, what do we have?
This comes from Brother Ben, who says, in my opinion, the concept of seven thinking hats can provide a structure for ideal virtual meetings. When applied in proper manner, meetings can be a joy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Meaning what then? Give us a quick rundown of the seven hats. Six thinking hats.
Plus one.
So they are like, there's seven hats for facts, emotion, benefits, ideas, planning, judgment, and invested, which is the main hat, the royal hat.
The royal hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to shine some light on this, there's a diagram up in his response on Twitter. But I learned about this when I was in school, weirdly enough. And it's basically the idea that there are several ways to think about a certain subject. So try to cover a subject from all angles. So try to approach it factually, try to approach it emotionally, try to approach it, and so on and so forth.
Also, another one here on WhatsApp from John Fu, who says, ergonomics, practicing it helps a great deal. Funny you should say that, John. I have indeed done that. I've invested in an ergonomic chair. I've made sure that my desk is at the ideal height and my monitor's at the ideal height and my keyboard, all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Still doesn't change the fact that I have to sit in one place for an extended period of time. You know, that's the issue that I have. It's not about how comfortable I am. It's just being still.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't be still.
Mm-hmm.
As you probably noticed, my mouth can't be still either. And that's why I'm doing this job that I'm doing.
Otherwise we won't have a show.
Exactly.
Speaking of getting someone else to talk with us.
Yes, you see, you're taking the segues right out of my mouth.
Well, we spoke to Chris Greeno, obviously, Everrise's Chief Marketing Officer, about his stance on virtual meetings. So the first question that we asked was, what platform do you use for remote or virtual meetings and why?
We use a combination of Microsoft Teams and Zoom. Mostly heavily on Microsoft Teams. We do this because, as a company, we're a large Microsoft partner, and to be honest, the way that they've integrated their meetings platform with the way you can communicate in it with the rest of their cloud storage applications is quite good and quite seamless, and the quality is great.
So on average, how long should an ideal virtual meeting be?
I mean, I think it depends on the purpose or the objective of the meeting. Communication is important no matter what, and sometimes you have to replicate those water cooler moments in the sense that, you know, if you're chatting with somebody too much, I have kind of a rule of three or four where if you message somebody three or four times and the message's not getting across, it's just better to call them. But in other cases, if you're doing, I think, a longer structured meeting, typically an hour or less, 45 minutes is a, I would say a hard stop for kind of those types of meetings.
Should virtual meetings be for any topic, or should they only be conducted for company-spanning or team-spanning conversations to set goals and agendas, that kind of thing?
Again, I really think it depends on the purpose. I think every meeting should have an objective. Every meeting should kind of have something drawn out. But yeah, I think it's important to have meetings on various levels with, you know, one-on-ones to your team, to company-wide, and of course for B2B companies, you know, having conversations with clients is very important. So yeah, I think they can be used for any type of topic, really.
Okay, and final question for you is, what would you define as good virtual meeting etiquette?
I think good etiquette, generally, if it's good to keep your video on so that, you know, you feel engaged with the conversation. Of course, there are, you know, times where turning the video off is better for quick conversations or if there's different time zones. But I think video on. And the second would be kind of to slow your pace so that you're not interrupting people when there could be some connection issues. So making sure that you kind of, you know, you kind of have to change how you slow up and kind of get into a conversation differently than how you would read a room or kind of versus reading a virtual room. You should be looking at whoever's speaking. Definitely those are the small things you can't replicate on a virtual meeting versus a face-to-face, is those tiny eye movements and facial responses. But yeah, I think, you know, generally you shouldn't be staring at yourself too much anyways.
Chris Greeno there, Everise's Chief Marketing Officer, on a what makes the ideal virtual meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you take from that?
Lots of good tips. I think the part where you shouldn't keep looking at yourself because you want to make sure that, you know, everything's okay in your screen should be avoided, because again, other people can see you.
But yeah, it's hard not to do that, right? And it's not because
it is a bit difficult.
It's not a vanity thing. It's more like
it's partially a vanity thing.
Is it though? I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I'll call myself out. It is partially a vanity thing. But for me, it's more like I want to check that my hair is not like all over the place, and I want to like occasionally be like, do I look okay? Uh-huh. Do I look presentable?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then I double check.
The rogue hair is a problem.
The rogue hair is a problem.
You know what I mean? Because you're wearing headphones, and then all of a sudden, mid meeting, there's like one hair decides to like spring out.
Yeah.
And you can't comb your hair on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like,
Jeff Bezos would probably have done it if he'd got hair. You know,
he
probably wouldn't have minded. You know,
yeah,
sneaking in a quick snack.
I think his point though about pacing as well is really important. You can't really pace a virtual conversation the same way that you would a real life one. So I think allowing people some time for potential lag issues and stuff like that. With the video thing, I know we do this in our virtual meetings. We'll like raise our hands if we want to say something. And that I think is also really, really good etiquette.
Two pet peeves I have. One of them is people forgetting to mute their microphone, so you're hearing that kind of feedback loop. And the second thing is, I've completely forgot what my second point was. That's normally what irritates me, when somebody just rambles on for no reason whatsoever, and you're just like, are you getting somewhere with this?
Yeah.
One more thing. Please do wear headphones in your virtual meetings.
Yes.
It is not just for your own sake, but it's because the sound quality is better, and also you don't get as much of that background noise that Rich is talking about as well. And I think that's just considerate for people to not hear so much.
Oh, and the other thing, I was doing a meeting the other day, and it was with a bunch of people who were in a really, really echoey room.
Right.
They were quite far away from the microphone as well. And you can barely hear what's happening. And while that's happening, the people in the room obviously are having a decent discussion. They know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are having to listen in, they have really no idea as to what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, and so you need to get close to that microphone so that everybody feels as though they're part of that meeting. Otherwise, they're just kind of left out in the lurch, right?
Yep.
There we go. Right. What makes the ideal virtual meeting? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a few moments, where Arvin will be speaking about how Microsoft gets Gen Z support with their TikTok bid. That's all coming up in just a few minutes. It's The Cure, close to me, to take us into the break here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.